It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
25 hours to go until the Sabres regular season begins in Czechia with a pair of games against the Devils this weekend. There are still 23 preseason games to be played in the NHL between now and when the real thing begins, but that's for Shayna Goldman's segment. What about the beauty of the boys in the white jerseys trimmed in blue and gold today for their first team photo?
Well, it looks really sharp. I, you know what? I know we all love the black and red, the goat head, but that
No, we don't. Blue and gold all the way.
No. We all love the black and red. It's nice. But that look, the crispiness of the white and the blue and the gold and everybody together is fantastic.
Irony, it's right in front of a black and red logo and the gold, Global Series. That's nice.
You know what? I want to be the one to develop a system where the logo at center ice can change under the ice so that we're wearing blue and gold. It's blue and gold. When we're wearing black and red, it's black and red, whatever. But you could see that it would work if it was both colors scheme put together. Mm-hmm. So, but a great picture. The fans, a lot of fans taken in practice in Czechia. There's fans behind the picture and they're all there to watch the NHL players take action in their practice date before the season starts in Prague.
I wouldn't say a lot. I'd say a smattering of fans, but sure, whatever.
I anticipate the back behind the camera is packed. They told them to get out. Get yeah. out of the way. We want a team picture. That's why it would be packed.
The countdown is on, almost under 24 hours till it all begins. Shayna Goldman, Darren Dreger join us here on Sabres Live today. It's the last Sabres Live until next Tuesday. So let's give it our best shot, Marty. What is the storyline on the eve of the season opener against the Devils?
I have a not so serious and a serious one. So the not so serious is...
Is this like show like sports or non-sports?
Maybe, but this is... I couldn't find Owen Power in the team picture and I had to do a double take. Like I think he got his hair cut. He may have some facial hair. Like it's a new Owen Power. And I thought he looked different in preseason. So now with a bit of a new look, like I'm excited for him. I think he provides offense this year. We talked about that at plenty. I think the Sabres, there's the hot take for the year. We'll have a top five offense in the National Hockey League this season. That's how I see it happening. It's not just Thompson. It's going to be everybody up front, the defense. I think the Sabres have a top five offense in the making, and it starts tomorrow. But that's the hot take, and that's what the focus will be on every time I watch them, is how can they continue to provide more added speed, added scoring chances, added offense, and throughout the lineup.
Well, with an early look and not so early, because I'm sure some people have already digested all of these names and positions for quite a while, we could look head-to-head at what the Sabres are rolling out right now and what the Devils are likely to roll out tomorrow. Yeah. When you start stacking these two teams up, as far as their line combinations and pairings at this point in time, we'll save goaltending for a moment down the road, because obviously that's a huge storyline for the Devils this year.
Yes.
But we've spent a lot of time, this is a five-liner, so disregard the bottom three because we're not dressing 15 forwards tomorrow. But these are the 15 in practice today.
It's a depth up front.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to go head-to-head, but my bad for not identifying that earlier. But anyway, when you look at how the Sabres are likely to line up with their top four lines tomorrow against the Devils, I don't know. I would give the experience and potential offensive edge to the Devils. That might be just me.
Well, it'll be interesting because tomorrow is a home game for the Buffalo Sabres. So how does Lindy Ruff, knowing what he knows about the New Jersey Devils, how does he deploy his lines? Because he will have final say in. Like, for me, if I'm the Devils, I'm using Nico Hischier, Dawson Mercer, and Thomas Tatar against Tage Thompson. But if I'm Lindy Ruff, I'm going Thompson against Jack Hughes. I'm saying, you know what? Let's go head-to-head. Let's go put our big guy against our big guy, and you know we'll come out on top. So that's the difference. I think tomorrow that's the one unique angle is that if you're the Devils, you probably want a different matchup than what Lindy Ruff would want in the first game.
Well, here's the thing: the top two lines I think are quite possibly even across the board. Sorry, can we flash back to the Devils one there, Jeff? When you look at the bottom six, which is where the Sabres' emphasis has been on, and we've spoke ad nauseum about it, the Devils, over the last couple of years, have very much evolved in the bottom six as well.
Yes.
And especially with the acquisition of a very playoff-proven, in his role, Stefan Nason, right? And Paul Carter coming from the Vegas organization. Like, I think there's an interesting conversation. But
Andre Palat,
well,
Andre
but Palat Palat's been there. That's what I mean. Like that. What do you see? Like when you go first blush at the Sabres bottom six and the Devils bottom six here, and they have a little bit of depth beyond it. But I think, you know, the hope for them would be able to utilize the six that are expected tomorrow, which is Palat, Hall, and Nason, Cotter, Lazar, Bastian. How do you see? Is there a gap between the two? Are there similarities there?
The gap is in size. The Sabres are way bigger in size than the Devils' bottom six.
But especially, Eric Hall has proven to be a much higher scorer than Ryan McLeod in a third-line center position.
Eric Hall has got speed and has got ability, and Andre Palat's got tons of experience. And you mentioned Nason, and we all know we had our date in in Henderson, Vegas, and saw Paul Cotter play for the Henderson Silver Knights and watched him over the years. Yes, they have some really good players in their bottom six. Mm-hmm. But the way that I look at the way the Sabres have built their bottom six and the difference between the Devils and the Sabres bottom six is the size. Jordan Greenway towers over everybody. Malenstein Lafferty, Obe Kubel are bigger than Curtis Lazar and Bastian and Palat. And so I'm looking at the size difference. Mm-hmm. And I think that is an advantage to the Sabres. Now, okay, you got to use your size. You got to be able to get a forecheck. You got to be able to win one-on-one battles. Those players for the Devils in the bottom six, even a little smaller, have shown that they can win one-on-one battles and be aggressive and get a high-tempo type play. Mm-hmm. But the size is definitely noticeable. So for me, if you can use that size to your advantage in front of the net, right? Like, okay, let's win that battle in front of the net against the Devils. Because the Devils back end, whoever's going to play against those lines, maybe a Seamus Casey or Simon Nemitz. And, you know, that's not great size on their third pair. So use that size. Go to the front of the net. You're going to have that advantage. So I'm not saying that the Sabres' advantage in this game is your bottom six versus their bottom six, but it should be a check mark in my book when you look at the bottom two lines on both sides.
Right, but the massive difference potentially, maybe even for just two of the 82 games this regular season, would be on the blue line coming in. The Sabres are healthy. They have a new group, given that it's Bo Byram's first start of season with the Sabres. So when you look at Dahlin and Joakim Harju, and again, Henry had an excellent preseason, excellent end to last year, might be the perfect guy for Dahlin. It remains to be seen. But Byram and Power, a healthy Samuelson with Clifton, is the expected group of six. The Devils cannot boast a healthy group of six. In fact, they're arguably at worst, they're missing either their third and fourth defenseman or their second and third defenseman, depending on how you slice it. They don't have the major acquisition of the offseason in Brett Pesce, who's injured right now, has been injured since the end of last year. and Luke Hughes, who we talked about, I don't know, less than a month ago when he got dinged up and he's not ready to go yet. So that creates an enormous hole. The fact you're looking at Siegenthaler, who is remarkably consistent and quietly effective, paired up with Kovacevic as the second pair potentially tomorrow, instead of having a Pesce and a Hughes, is a massive difference right now that Sheldon Keefe and the Devils have to work through.
Yeah, well, Jonathan Kovacevic, I mean, he was in Montreal and was not a factor in their top four, top five in Montreal. Montreal didn't have a good team, right? He was a younger guy that they decided to part ways with. So I think Dougie Hamilton is their number one defenseman. Like you said, Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce are number two and three. Brendan Dillon, Siegenthaler.
He's a four, I think, based on it's an argument to be made for sure between him and Siegenthaler. Dillon's further along in his career, but really helps
they're four,
them, right?
They're four A, four B. They're missing their second and third best defensemen in a lot of different aspects, right? In skating, in offense, in supporting the rush, and in eating minutes, in power play. They're missing a big piece on the blue line. And yes, the Sabres are healthy after that little, you know, scare on first day of camp where Rasmus Dahlin left with a mid body, but has played the last preseason game against Red Bull, has looked good, has been engaged in everything at practice. So I think the Sabres are going into the season 99.99999% healthy on the back end. The Devils cannot say that. The Devils have probably got hit with a 30 or 40% hit when you take Hughes and Pesce out.
We're a week away from the home opener at KeyBank Center. Of course, it's presented by the BFLO store, and we want to see you for the party in the plaza, blue and gold carpet, player arrivals, live music, great activities, rally towel giveaway for the first 15,000 fans. And again, it'll be the Sabres and the Kings. It'll be game three of the regular season, but it'd be the first one truly at home. We can't wait for that.
Yes.
Just like we've had to adjust our schedule in the best way possible to bring in Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. Hi, Shayna. Keep in mind, if we do broach the topic of preseason games, this is not a podcast and we will need to keep it clean.
Yeah, my best behavior. You know what? I feel like I needed to get that out of my system to feel better. And it definitely, it helped me. It was a cathartic thing because preseason this year, let's have a preseason game tonight. What are we doing?
I get that. What are we doing?
Have you noticed I'm sure you have, the most incredible oddity with the preseason schedule is that everything comes to a natural conclusion on Saturday. There's no games on Sunday. And there's a random Nashville-Tampa one-off on Monday before the season begins at 1:30 in the afternoon local in Seattle on a Tuesday that's not a holiday.
Yep.
Producer Jeff wants to know if the Nashville-Tampa is a COVID reschedule from 3 years ago.
There we go. Imagine. This is the only league that would be like, think about it. Anyone else? I get it. Gate revenues matter, especially for hockey. But like a Tampa-Nashville preseason game that has to be rescheduled because of the hurricane, you think they would say,
oh, man,
let's cancel it? No. Yes. No, yes. The people need more preseason hockey. And then you hear from the Board of Governors like, well, maybe we'll finally shorten preseason, but we'll add more games to the regular season. Like, no, we need to shorten the regular season to like 70 games. Like, see, this is what's... Why are we doing this? Can we stop? And then if you add in more teams, like naturally you're going to get more games because more combinations and things like that. Why? I'm tired. I've had enough.
Shayna, I have a plan. The Marty plan is twofold. One is if you want to balance the schedule and you have 32 teams, you may have to go to 84 games. So you play four in your division, three in the other division, two in the other conference. Or you can do eight divisions of four teams. And now if you balance it the right way, you play 80 games. So a little this or that for you. Do you like eight divisions of four teams, 80 games, or the current divisions, 84 games?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I like the current divisions better, but the 80 games is swaying me. But you know what? I'm going to go with the 84-game season. I didn't think this would be my answer, but I'm going to add to it with the idea of expansion, which I disagree with, because if you add two teams, let's face it, we're adding four teams because we got to keep those divisions balanced, right? Like, we're a professional league here. Let's act like it.
I'm okay with four more.
Sure. If we must, but then everyone's going to be like, let's expand the playoffs. My pitch, besides, I have thoughts about realigning the divisions and the playoff plans, but if we must expand the playoffs, I would like a 3-game wild card series where 8 goes up against 11 and 9 goes up against 10. Oh, yeah. And then the best of 3 winner gets to be, wait, no, I screwed that up.
7, 10, 8, and 9. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. And then that's how you decide the 7th and 8th wild card seeds. So it's not like we're saying, let's play 82 games and throw them out the door for everybody. If you are good enough to be 1 through 6, you get a couple days off. So, and I love that.
So Gary Bettman comes from basketball, and basketball is doing a little bit different. It's 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. The winner of 7-8 gets the 7th place. The loser plays the winner of 9-10. So you get a double chance, a little bit like Canadian curling. But I do like that. Now, here's another Marty plan, because we're all in agreement that the league, even though let's not talk about expansion, it's like we don't talk about Bruno, right? We don't talk about expansion, but they will go to 36 teams. Before long, it's going to be 36 teams. So I have 6 six-team divisions, 3 six-team divisions in East, 3 in the West, and I have an 80-game schedule with 36 teams. I can
now we are cooking. Let's go.
Now this is the best of both worlds. 36 teams, 80 games schedule.
In a nice spiral notebook and all, like, love it.
And you know what? They were the first to go to Vegas among the major leagues. So why not be the first to get to 36 teams?
Yeah.
Seriously, this is a league that is missing some of the biggest markets, not entirely their fault, but they're missing Houston. They're missing Atlanta.
It is their fault. It is their fault because they chose not to go there in the first place. I'm not giving them any credit.
Dana, they've been to Atlanta twice. The problem was whoever was running the team couldn't get them to win, and the fan base naturally didn't keep showing up. So that's not on the NHL.
Ownership is huge when it comes to those markets. Yeah. Look at what happened in Arizona, right? Like ownership in Utah is a different market.
Seriously, go into Phoenix, Houston, Atlanta at minimum, and then one more where, like, it's easy to get to 36.
There will be a second team in Toronto at some point as well.
Yes, that would have been ideal. That should have been done LA. 6 years ago when it was widely rumored.
There's 2 in LA. There's 3 in New York. 100%. When you add Philadelphia and everything, it's huge. Yeah. So there'll be, I think 36 is a given. But Shayna, I want to bring you back to Sabres Live and not NHL Live, which I love the NHL Live aspect of our show anyway. So that's not that. But you did have, you and the Athletic staff writers put together a Sabres preview. Yes. So here's the big lines from that Sabres preview. Sabres are, with your staff, looking at potentially being 6 in the Atlantic with 88.7 points. You know, there's some big questions there, and the questions are directed at you. 88 points is low, in my opinion, for the Sabres. Were you one that was pushing for higher, or were you right in that sweet spot?
Blame Dom. No, we're very quick to blame Dom, because we're always like, first byline, you're the one leading this. Like, let's go. blame Dom for the modeling. Blame me for the rest of it, because I wrote a lot of that one. I would say, I believe the model to an extent because it's not accounting for the context that we know and that we're going to apply to it, right? That's why we write 3,000 words to go with that projection. Is the projection lower than I think a lot of us would want to see for Buffalo because we're all waiting for that moment? Yes, because it's so tricky when you compare the two complete opposite seasons that they had, right? Mm-hmm. How do we know that we can't apply coaching impacts? I wish we could. The day that we can really quantify that, I'm going to be over the moon. But I like that it's a low starting point because I think they can push the ceiling higher, but it's looking at it going, you didn't change the roster much. And we know that the offense really wilted last year and players are going to have to prove something. But that range of values is so important to keep in mind because we know they could have higher ceilings. And they showed that 2 years ago, as long as those ceilings offensively don't come with issues defensively. And I think the other intriguing part of it is we know that there's a coach now in place who has experience with the team in a similar position, who has experience with the team that has the strengths to be this amazing rush-based team, but now he has totally different assistant coaches who we know a little bit less about at the NHL level. And with someone like Lindy Ruff, we have to talk about his associate and assistant coaches because they're the tacticians of it while he's the manager. So it adds all of these uncertainties to a projection, and I think it gives you this range of outcomes because could they finish lower than that? Of course. But there's this much higher ceiling that they absolutely could push to if they can find the right elements from the last two seasons and go forward from there.
So the 1% to win the division, so you're telling me there's a chance like Dumb and Dumber? There's always a chance. Okay.
Who knows? The Leafs could blow it and slide right out of the play. Who is to say? I'm not. I personally am not. We don't even know what's going to happen in the next couple days of preseason if anyone will be ready to start the NHL season. Okay. So Everything is chaos.
Yuri Patera leads the Bruins to yet another Atlantic Division title. Apologies if you have explored this before, Shayna, and that we have not asked. But upon the commentary there about not being able to quantify coaching impact, is there a way to quantify soon-to-be free agent impact? The Sabres have close to 10 meaningful players on the roster that will be up for a contract of some sort next year. Some are going into UFA, some are going into RFA. Do you believe this is a good thing for teams to have a lot of players angling for not just winning, but succeeding personally?
It's tough to say. Like, I wish one day it's like a vibes impact chart we're going to make, like big dad energy. Where does that land in free agency? But it's tough because some people do wilt under the pressure, right? It really depends on the person. Like there are instances, look at Tyler Bertuzzi last year, right? Like 2 years ago, we thought he was going to get that big payday. And look at what he did when he got to Boston. It's like, there you go. He's playing for his contract. He goes to the Leafs and you go, he can't finish his chances. And here's all the issues. Like, you're not playing for your chances. And then you go to the Nylanders of the world and you're like, that man is earning himself a contract. Jeremy Swayman is earning himself his big payday. So it's a hit or miss kind of thing, but it's an individual achievement, right? Like, you have to do something because while a contract shouldn't be based on 1 year play, recency matters. Like, general managers are human to a fault. Sometimes they're so human about it, right? Because they get so enamored by the recency of it all, especially when things come like down the stretch and into the playoffs. It's why a team like the Red Wings, right? Like, a lot of people are going to take issue with where we have them because they're like, well, what if they pick up where they left off last season? It's like, well, that would be great and wonderful. But what did they do for the 60 games before that? Like, it all matters. So it's really tricky to say, will that help or hurt the Sabres? But I think we know, generally speaking, it's an extra motivator that should help for a team that, if anything, needs any extra kicks in the back that they can get, because last year was such a disappointment relative to the year before when they were one of the most electrifying teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your wild card for this year, and if you want to look at maybe a player that's starting a contract, not a player that's ending a contract, but Owen Power is starting his new long-term contract this year, year one. He was the wild card for this season when you guys put that preview together. I think Owen's going to have a great season. He looked good in preseason. But what do you mean by wild card? Like, is he a factor for their success or their demise? Or is he a support? Like, what do you mean by wild card?
Yeah, so we look at things like the big question, and that is the overarching theme that we're going to be curious about the entire year. And for a wild card, it's more like it's a pivotal part of their season with a little bit of uncertainty behind it, right? For the Dallas Stars, which I wrote last night, it's can Jake Ottinger bounce back? Their season doesn't live and die by Jake Ottinger because they're so good elsewhere, right? Like, they're a contender in front of the net, and we know that. But that's a pretty big part. That could be the difference between hitting your projection and racing to your ceiling. For Owen Power, we know he has all the skill. We know he has all of the abilities. And I think we're seeing it little by little, him build on it, right? The puck moving is outstanding. Mm-hmm. That's something, it doesn't grow on trees. You can't always teach the offensive instinct that he has, but you need to channel it and you need to balance out your game. And for him, the challenge is going to be doing that without having power play one to shine on, because a player like him generally gets that top slot and can hit their ceiling a little bit quicker. So it's always an interesting wild card to see, like, how is he going to handle this season? Especially because who's his partner going to be? Does he have the same position, you know, that same certainty and structure on his side that maybe he could use, or we think that he could have to, you know, take the bar even higher. Yeah. So I think that if he can hit his stride this season, and we know Darlene, right, if he can get back to his heights too, that's massive for a team that really relies on getting that offensive spark from the back end to get their forwards up to the level that we know they can be.
Well, the season starts with him and Byram together, and not just at 5-on-5, but on the power play as well.
Yeah.
What would your outlook for Byram be based on knowing that and him going into a contract year two?
For Byram, I think it's proving that he can play in a top four capacity, because in Colorado, he didn't get the chance. It was nothing about his game. It was just about who was ahead of him on the depth chart. So for the Sabres, we're looking at Byram, and we know he came into a role last year that maybe was tougher to adjust to on the fly than we think about, because you're not just now adjusting to a completely new team in a new system, and also a team you're not as familiar with because you play them twice a year, but now you're going into a role that you've never played. I think the second pair is a nice landing spot for him, because he's not going to go against top competition, which he's never had to do before, right? He's used to a little bit more sheltered minutes. So I think that allows him to kind of get away from the spotlight that he had with Darlene. And the offensive elements, he's not by himself doing it. So I think that there can be, it's going to be a risk reward pair for sure, but the reward is so high because they have all these different qualities that'll click together. So I actually really like this move for the Sabres. I think it's something to experiment with. And, you know, they have so many different options to experiment with, but I like this to start. Like, why not? Because we saw the Darlene Byram pair last year for a little bit, and we saw the scoring, but below the surface, it didn't match that. So why not take him down a notch instead of starting him on the third pair and letting him do it by himself? He has someone, so he doesn't have to always be the driver. He can be, you know, a co-driver. Why not? Mm-hmm.
The Sabres were third in goals for per games 2 years ago. I said at the start of the show, they're going to be a top five offense in the National Hockey League this year. Colorado, Toronto, the Oilers, the Rangers. There's a lot of teams. So is it stupid of me to say top five, or should I expand it to maybe top 12 or top 10? Or can they be top five offense with all of the pieces put together?
It's a hot take and I love it. I'm going to say let's ride with the top five right there. Because we know Tage Thompson, when he's healthy, when he's clicking, he's outstanding, and he does it in such a unique way. He's such an amazing player to watch. We know Tuck is a really good player with him. We know Cousins can be that great playmaker. You look at year one, and he's creating all these scoring. He's entering the puck with possession, but he's not always translating the zone entries to the scoring chances, and then he started to do it, and last year that fell off. So the elements are there for him to get back on track. JJ Paterka was unbelievable last year when everyone around him was kind of mid. So you're like, okay, now it's starting to come together. You add in Jack Quinn with a healthy season, and he's exactly what this team is missing. And the top six is showing potential. You shift to the back end and you have guys like Byram, Darlene, and Power to add that spark. Why not say they could be that? I think it's an all situation top five thing, not necessarily a 5-on-5 thing, because I think they're going to get back on track with the power play, which I think we saw 2 years ago, just how good it could be. So tactical adjustments, they're going to be huge, but I'm with you on that because the ceiling's there. The depth still needs work, and I think they need a little bit more offense to trickle down to the bottom six, but I think the top six and the top three blue liners they have, that's a real weapon.
2-0, 1-1, 0-2. What happens to the Sabres this weekend?
1-1.
1-0-1. I want to be different.
Boo! It's the first time you've ever taken a sitting on the fence approach, Shane.
No, it's not sitting on the fence. I said they will not lose in regulation in this in these two games.
All right.
I don't know that these games are always interesting, the global series, because I really do feel like we get like higher scoring than we usually anticipate games.
Let's hope so.
Exciting. So I feel like it's going to be like two really loud games in the first period, and then maybe we'll see what goes from there.
Nice. I love it. Shanna, thank you so much for joining us early. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shanna Goldman from The Athletic. You can catch all her season previews on The Athletic right now. Great group providing incredible content. We're back after this with our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.